Talk to you today. I'm calling my message Rejoice in Your Labor. Ecclesiastes 5:17-18 says, and I want you to listen very carefully, think about it. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Some people don't understand that this is the gift of God. Some people don't understand that labor, work, is a part of God's plan. They really think it's the sun that has the best deal of all. That lucky old sun has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Now, I don't want to roll around anywhere all day. In the bed, in the swimming pool, up and down the road. I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want to leave a mark that there won't be a question that I've been here for Jesus' sake. Amen? Amen. But twice in these two verses, he says, enjoy your labor. It's amazing. And to enjoy the good of all his labor. Work is a part of life that God's ordained. In the beginning, he put man in the garden with the responsibility to keep the garden and take care of it, didn't he? He said, here you go, roll around the garden all day. No, he did not say that. He said, keep it and dress it. Mike has a lot in common with the first guy. He's still trying to dress everybody's garden. He gets to dress my garden and take care of it. The attitude that we have about work will determine our success and our happiness. Because work is the plan of God, and you can't get around it. You can't change it. God himself labored to create the world and all that is in it, and then he rested on the Sabbath. Which is another reason that people are frustrated about work. Because they don't understand that there must also be rest. This also is what God has created. If we don't take our Sabbaths to rest, we pay for it on the other end. It's a great balance. Now, I promise you, it's a great balance. Amen. It's not good to work all the time, and it's not good to rest all the time. It's a rhythm that God created. Bob Mumford said once he was sick for 3 months. He'd never been sick in his life. He said he just worked like a whirlwind, went all the time from daylight to dark, and said, Lord, I'm being obedient, faithful to you, and glorifying your name every day that I live. So he got sick for 3 months one time. And he complained to God because he felt he had been faithful and sacrificing in his service. And he said, as he complained to God, that God replied to him, it's true that you've sacrificed and been faithful, but I needed 3 months off for you to collect the Sabbath you owe me. Do you know that? Now, the scripture says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And God has made that day to restore you and to replenish you. And so it's a wonderful thing that he's done. And we don't have resentments toward God if we'll take that time too, just like God did. How many of you can do better than God can in these things? There will be things about every job, every endeavor in life that are good and things that are bad. Is there really a perfect situation? And remember the verse to that little song I was just sharing with you there. Up in the morning, out on the job, work like the devil for my pay. Fuss with my woman, toiled for my kids, work till I'm wrinkled and gray. But that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. couldn't find anybody on earth worth being jealous of and resenting, so just resented the sun. In your dreams, there's a job with no work in it. In your dreams, there's a job with no work in it. She says, everybody's laughing. I want to know what they're laughing about. I read the other day, seriously, that today's millennials are purchasing homes they really can't afford to pay for because they're planning to strike it rich doing some reality program about themselves, which they will create for YouTube. Now, the whole world is just waiting for daily pictures of you and your exciting life. That's where this comes from. Whose life is so exciting that somebody wants to know every day in Technicolor, with drama included and stretched a whole lot, what are you doing today? Da-da! You just can't get something for nothing. Unfortunately, many believers have never understood that wherever they are and wherever they spend their days, that is their assignment in the kingdom for them. Your kingdom assignment is wherever you are right now. Some charismatic people like to use the term, God has me here, God has me there. Well, you're just somewhere and God has you if you hadn't backslid. That's the truth. In other words, you're not so special that God's moving you around very carefully. And I want him here for 3.5 years and over here, and he's got something they need. Hey, how many of you think you're just real special? I don't think I'm just real special. I just want to be obedient before God. And I believe that wherever I am at any time, that's my kingdom assignment for that hour. Like if I'd end up in prison, let's say. And I really don't want to have that kind of prison ministry. Do you, Jimmy? Oh, I like this kind where we get to come and go. It's wherever your job is. It's whatever situation you find yourself in. It doesn't even have to be what you chose or what you desired. You can still have a great ministry someplace you never wanted to be. Do you think that Daniel filled out an application to be taken away to Babylon to work for the government there? But notice what God said about Daniel in Jeremiah 29:4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away. Oh, God couldn't have possibly caused this. Well, I've had people that really get hung up on that, you know. And I don't want us to get confused about sovereignty, but here's the thing. Whatever situation you are in, the scripture says all things work together for my good. So whatever situation you're in, and maybe you did sort of directly cause it, but God knows how to use it. And see, and he looked at that and said, I'd just soon have you there as anywhere. I'm just going to say I carried you there. I don't think God's all picky about that. I think what's important is that we let God use every situation to build us into who he wants us to be. I want to tell you, I am glad that I did not have the life of a princess coming up. I'm really glad that nobody really cared that much. If it was raining hard and there was a storm and I had to get home from school. And one day there was a terrible storm. And so some of my more wealthy friends were all calling for their parents, would you please come and get me? It's raining terribly. And I just thought I'd do it. So my dad and his brother, they ran this paint and wallpaper company. And my grandmother worked in the store there. So I just called her, you know, playing the part like everybody else, and said, and I didn't call her granny. I didn't want people to know that my granny worked in their store. So I said, hi, it's me. Well, it's an awful storm. I just wonder if you could send one of the men by to pick me up. My granny, she's pretty neat. You know, she'd go along with things. And she said, ha, 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 ha. Honey, I guess we could help you out with that. She didn't know what game I was playing now, but they didn't care if I had to walk home in the rain. I never was treated like that kind of a kid. Nobody even told me not to carry the umbrella. Lightning might strike you dead on the way. And I'm sort of glad that I wasn't cuddled and coddled till I lost my mind, because I found out what life was really like, because I lived where a whole lot of people live life. So wherever God has you, He's forming you into whatever it is He wants you to do for His kingdom purpose. You know, my John, he's one of those strange people who declares, "I never had a job I didn't like." Well, here's a crazy guy that gets up every morning happy, oh my gosh, and thinks the day was just made for him, you know, and anybody he runs into is his friend. Because like was it Will Rogers, "I never met a man I didn't like." He just likes people. This is a tip. It helps a lot if you like people. So, of course, John was pretty important, you know. He and his mother found the way to succeed. They were the proud inventors of Powell's famous chili buns. It's the truth. I'm serious. That's why he likes them so much. And it's when he was a teenager. What a man. But he loved his work at Eastman as a research chemist. Truly, if it was an up job or way down the line job, he liked it all. He liked the people there. Now, there's a whole lot about attitude, but this is not a motivational message. I'm just telling you. By the way, it doesn't hurt a bit to have a good attitude about what you're doing. John and I thought that our jobs were the way to send each other to college, which is, that's what we did. I worked, sent him to school, he worked, sent me to school. That's how we got to college. Never dawned on us that somebody might pay our way, or that nobody ever mentioned to me about a scholarship, by the way. I don't know why. My goodness, I could have been so bitter about that and gotten a lot of attention and got those demons cast out and everything. But I just thought, I honestly thought, you had to work for yourself, you had to get things done yourself. I was glad about it. I really thought it was a challenge, and so that's what we did. And in my last job, they told me that my boss had tried 7 secretaries before me, before he could find one he could work with. Now, he wasn't going to run me off. I had a job to do. He couldn't dish out something that I couldn't live with. How do we get our feelings hurt so easily, you know? They said that the secretary before me, her name was Darlene, and he would hurt her feelings, and she'd go and bawl and cry, and she had done that one day, and she'd written out the checks, and he brought them in and laid them down, and he'd talk in a droll way, you know, laid the checks down and said, "Darlene, you're going to have to write these checks over. They've all got tears on them." They really did. That was the kind of deal it was. But the last year in that job, God saved me, not just from the job. He saved me. That's the year I got saved, 1967. And I began by teaching the Bible to my coworker on her break. And so my life changed, my witness changed, my testimony changed. And some of the executives in the company, when we came out to do this ministry, gave very generously, like to the tune of $10,000 in what are those things, stocks, that we held for a year, and they split, and we got $20,000 before we cashed it. And so this is kind of experiences that John and I have had. When they found out John was going to leave, they promoted him to senior research chemist. He only had 4 more months to be there, to try to entice him. He said, "No, you don't understand. God has called me to do this." And that's a testimony itself. So here's what I think is the important thing to understand. Now, you remember that I read to you in the beginning from Ecclesiastes, which Solomon wrote. Remember that Ecclesiastes has in it, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity." Did you ever wonder what in the world? I get up today, I'm going to work another day. take the kids to the doctor, you know, I've got to get the house clean, I've got to do this, I've got to go to bed at night. What is it all about? Now, some people actually think it's about making money. Now, making money is important, but that is not what it's about. And once you realize that is not the first cause of your work, you're going to be a whole lot happier. I believe in preparing for your job. That's what John and I both did. I believe in succeeding on your job. But here's what Ephesians 6 says that we're there for, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, in fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So he's saying here that the first thing is to glorify God in anything that you do and realize that you are there as an ambassador of Christ. And you have been sent there or placed there or allowed to be there for his purpose. How many, you do know God's purpose is first, right? Before yours? His purpose is first. And what you do in any situation, you have to put his purpose first and realize that you're doing that wherever you are for his will and for his purpose. Amen. This is your kingdom assignment. Remember the Johnny sign that he brought up from Georgia, the church has left the building. I'll tell you what, when the church understands that our kingdom function, the scripture says that the kingdom is spread about in the earth like seeds being sown, and it's going to spring up. And we are influencing and we are making a place for more and more people to come to him. That's what we are there for. It's your assignment, and to be, actually, to let your light shine, to be a Christian, and to do the Christian thing, like, for example, on your job, did you ever help a coworker just because he got behind? And that would be being a Christian, you know. You know, you can do that. And different things like this. You're doing it from your heart, but it's manifesting the love of Jesus. And they see your life, and they know that you have something they don't have. I had a professional person say to me, I watched your life for 2 or 3 years, and I decided there must be something to this thing. Sometimes they won't fall at your feet and beg God for forgiveness the first week or two you're there. Well, listen, aren't you going to live like a Christian whether they repent or not? I am. They're not going to discourage me no matter how they respond. I've got Jesus in my heart. So if you're an all-the-time Christian, then it won't bother you to live that thing through on your job or in your work situation. I was thinking, you know, somebody should preach a sermon sometime called, at what times of the day do you plan to be a Christian? You think it's funny? Did you plan to be a Christian when you got up grouchy? Oh, the man. The man who was asked the question, when you get up in the morning, do you wake up grouchy? He said, no, I usually let her sleep another hour or two. So they probably were both two grouchy Christians that woke up grouchy. And they chose the time to be Christians and to act like Christians sometime after 11 a.m. Well, what's your time of day? What's your favorite time of day to be a Christian? Well, I believe that we should be Christian. I do too. But I'm just asking you to think about it a minute. What portions of the day sometimes are you not really acting Christian? What about the time when you huff around the house? And did you ladies ever put a pot down just real heavy? Just to hear the sound of it and get the good feeling of hitting something? That's the non-Christian manifestation of day-to-day life. Now, some people plan to do, even our beloved Ann Fletcher, who was absolutely an angel who hid her wings. We all know this. But her favorite thing was slam cabinet doors when it just got to be too much. Bang, bang, bang. But some people, it seems, it does not occur to them that in their work situation is where God's calling on them to be a Christian. Now, I don't know what we're saving our Christian behavior for. But really, the Holy Spirit's got enough power. You can do it in everything. You don't have to just save it for the ones you want to impress or the times you think are most holy to God. Now, I've noticed most of you are pretty nice here in the sanctuary most of the time. I'm going to get somebody else to preach that sermon, but I don't want to offend the people by preaching it myself. Keith Miller's wife, when her husband ignored the children or grouched around at them, when they just wanted a little attention or a little affection, she said to him, "Leave Daddy alone, honey. After all, he's studying about being a Christian. Don't bother Daddy. He's busy studying and praying so he can go and be a Christian for the people at the office." Some of us really are. We're forever preparing for that great day when we finally are going to walk like Christians. Just go ahead. Take a deep breath. Try it on your way home from church today.
Did you say Keith Miller or Keith Minn?
No. That's why Keith Minnick doesn't write books. He doesn't want to admit these things. So it's always good to act like a Christian in church. And when you want other Christians to accept you, that's a great time. But what about at your job? And what about when you're transacting business? What about at the bank? What about at the phone company, which I get Joan to do that for me? Because I said, I've had it with this. Why do they keep sending me a notice? They won't do it a month or two, and then here it is again. Now, you're just about to run out of data. And the data police are out. And we're warning. I know you told me it wasn't. I said the person who knows everything about everything at my office. I finally talked to the man. The woman who knows everything about everything at my office told me that I didn't have to do this. And he just kind of chuckled a little bit. You know, but every month they're trying to warn me. So he finally said, "Why don't you just come on in and sign up another plan?" And I said, "And go ahead and pay the $15 in advance instead of going jumping through all these hoops. Would that be better?" But in Jesus' name, I don't want to say something that'll be unchristian-like to that man, but something can drive you nuts. I wouldn't say it to him. I've even wondered if it's just a scam they've set up. I don't even believe it. You know, I don't even believe it's true. I hope nobody here works for the phone company. I won't tell you which one it is. could you please move this for me so I can sit and talk to you just a minute before I finish today? We're moving along, but you've been listening really well. I think you want to get this over with. You're sent to your job or any workplace, first of all, as an ambassador of the King and His kingdom. You're sent to love people to your job. You mean love people on my job? Yeah. To help them to be, and by the way, people will tell you things, your co-workers. They're going to be telling you things because they can tell you and they know that they can't tell other people. And if you care about them and listen, the people that I worked with before I came here and quit working, well,
thanks for qualifying
that. Those people that I worked with, I really cared about them and they cared about me. I remember driving in the snow to help a woman with her mother one day, you know. When she got sick and all of that, driving all the way over to Ridgefields, you develop strong ties. And then you can tell people what you believe, and then you get, but I'm not just talking about trying to bring one more person to church or trying to get them to say yes to Jesus. I'm talking about really living your Christian life as someone who, you know, Jesus said, if someone asks you to go a mile with him, go too. Now, he's really talking about the soldiers and how they would just command people anywhere to just do anything. And here the Christians are, they are volunteering to do more than they even ask. And it has, then it has them scratching their head way out here. What is it with this person? They kept seeing the love of Jesus in people. And this is how Jesus told us, turn the other cheek, go the second mile, love and pray for those that despitefully use us. Don't get into their little games. Don't let them take you their direction. You just continue to hold what you know. Then you are being... Did you sing that? You want to sing that other little song we used to sing when we were in kindergarten in church? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now, bring that way up a revelational eon or two. John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light, and you did rejoice to walk in that light. I want to be a light that people rejoice to walk in, not just somebody that squeaks out a little, good morning, how are you, an occasional compliment. Come on, we've got everything in us that Jesus has put there, and he sent us into the world to pour it out on them in every situation we're involved in. Thank God for that wonderful privilege. I had a number of jobs along the way. I started out working... I started out working with my grandmother in my daddy and my uncle's store. And I was selling paint and wallpaper when I was 14. And I worked for the 5 and 10 cent store. And then I worked for 2 or 3 bookstores. So I could sneak back in the corner and read a lot of books, you know, when it was downtime. I know, if there's time to lean, there's time to clean. Somebody said that to me the other day. That's what John learned at PALS, you know. And so in the different jobs that I had, you know, around here, for example, in the church here, we try to develop people. We try to be kind. We teach to let people keep their self-esteem every way we can. Well, I didn't experience that on my job. Nobody gave a hang if I ever had any self-esteem. I worked for a finance company. I never, just it's so crazy how much you remember. I had to keep the bank balance all the time at $27,500. And I had to make those things balance every day, and this is all. And I had to be nice to the customers, and I had to do all of this, that, and the other. And the important thing was make sure that you lock the safe. One blooming time, I forgot to lock the safe. One time. Now, I wasn't given an encouraging little talk like, "Well, God has a future for you. You're a great person. You just did it once. We're going to look over it this time." Oh, no, there was a scathing note there. Mrs. Curran, shame on you. Oh, my gosh. There's no word in the English language like shame. How many of you hate to be shamed? I do. Then the children learn to say to each other, shame me, shame me, shame me. Because that's an awful word. But as you learn to go through all that, then when you get in the kingdom of God, you see how glorious it is. Everything in the kingdom is different. And because of the Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to apply our skills in the right way, depending on God, to let us represent him in everything that we do. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we get to do? I'm glad you think so, Joan. It's your job is weird. I'm surprised you'd say that, Joan. So, you are sent to your job or anywhere, first of all, as an ambassador of the King and his kingdom. You are sent to love people, to help them, to be a light that will draw them to follow Jesus. Simply see your job, now this is important, as your mission field. I see the restaurants I go in as my mission field. I go in restaurants often. any place I go, any situation I'm involved in, it is my mission field. Thank God that God let me be there for whatever his purpose was for that particular situation. Now, I want to close with this little thing. I read this somewhere and I really liked it. It's a 4-point list of how to walk like a Christian before others in your job situation. And it's going to be these things. I'll just make a short comment on them. Number one, don't brag. Number two, don't nag. Number three, don't lag. And number four, don't sag. See, I think you'll remember those because they rhyme. And they also are slightly humorous. Now, don't brag. I cannot stand a braggy Christian. When I run into somebody like that, I say, just give me a sinner, will you? Anything's got to be better than this. Somebody, how righteous they are. How they haven't done this. And the man that told us right here in this church, I haven't sinned since 1947. And we didn't swallow it, and that he didn't like that. We were supposed to believe that. Well, first of all, I didn't care whether he had sinned since 1947. I cared about, was he going to follow Jesus right now? That's what matters. And in the future, are you going to go with Jesus? I mean, I'd loved him just as much if he had told me he'd been sinning since 1947. Isn't that what God's like? You can't impress people by telling them how great you have gotten to be because of Jesus. You've got to impress them how wonderful Jesus is. That's what. Okay, now, people really, if you do some of the things I've been talking about today, people will actually start coming to you and saying, I see something different about you. And that's your opportunity to say, well, I haven't always been this way. If people comment about John being so generous, he said, hey, I wasn't generous at all. He said, until I met Sue and spent every dime I had on her. I wouldn't give a candy bar to a friend. But he said, but God changed my heart. In other words, he didn't say, oh, well, I guess, you know, my family's always been this way and blah, blah. Come on, give the glory to Jesus. Don't brag. Self-righteousness turns people off. And then find out how righteous. Let them find out how righteous you are on their own. Let them see it in you. And then start asking you questions. Well, for example, and by the way, you don't always have to tell people you're going to a prayer meeting tonight. I mean, not really. I mean, after a while, they may think, what a kooky person. I wonder if they're part of a cult or something. I mean, anybody that prays has got to be in a cult, right? And so it's very important not to transfer your Christianese out into the world. And I really mean this. Don't use so many religious words that fully compute with all us here. We know exactly what you're talking about. But that world doesn't relate to it. That's what I'm trying to say. And you know, when if I'm traveling, I've traveled a whole lot in my lifetime, but in many situations, I'd have a person on the plane, seated on the plane beside me, they're trapped, they can't get up. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to try to think, now when am I going to work in to find out what their need is for Jesus, and hopefully I can lead them to Jesus. How long is this flight? Oh gosh, we've only got 20 minutes. The pilot's been talking most of the time. So as you're sitting there in that situation, I almost never tell people I'm a pastor unless they ask me, because that predisposes them to either resent the fact, what's a woman doing being a preacher? Or it predisposes them to think, oh, this is a religious person, I better mind my manners. And I want them to be themselves so I can help them, you know, with the thing that's obvious that they need. If I hear them talking hatred and all this stuff all the time and how bitter they are about life and all this, and that gives me clues, you see. Second thing, don't nag. Don't go into work carrying a big Bible under your arm. So you can whip it out and show people scripture chapter and verse how wrong they are and why they shouldn't be doing that. Because most people know how to say, doesn't it say in the Bible somewhere? You don't have to have your Bible with you. You know, people are satisfied. I do this all the time talking to people. I don't carry a Bible. It's not comfortable for me to be carrying a Bible or carrying much of anything else right now, but it won't be very long. But as I'm talking to people, I just use the word that's written in my heart. And I don't nag them about the thing that they might say that they're into or whatever, and I'm talking to somebody. Excuse me, this would be for this area. Excuse me, honey, I can't quite make out everything you're trying to talk about. I'm so hungover today, I just tell you. Well, I just, you know, and then they'll probably say first, I got to do something about this. And I said, well, you know, there's a lot of people these days that have that problem, and draw them into that, relate to it first. I don't relate because, yeah, I know how you feel. I'm kind of hungover myself. I can't say that. But I'm going to say, it's really a thing that's happening in our country right now. So anyway, just saying, don't go on in with that attitude of proving. People are not going to come to Jesus because you prove everything from the Bible. They're going to come because they prove Jesus. You prove Jesus' love by reaching out to them and doing everything you can to open up the way to them. Thirdly, don't lag. People would rather you helped get the work done and practice being a good employee than that you sit and quote scriptures. I have a saying. I always say I'm going to put a chapter in a book sometime. Don't speak in tongues, just fix the water. Some people are so spiritual, but they just can't get anything done. And so there's a time not to get into that, and there's a time to do your duty and do what's right and do what's helpful to others and be honest about your job. Be honorable about your work. How many people just couldn't keep their hand out of the till because they walked by and saw that money so many times? But honest people are valued in the world. And the fourth thing, don't sag. Don't give in to their ways. Some people can't be around cussing people long till they're cussing. And if we don't hold up a light, then what's different about us? And it's not, and not just in the language they use, but in the manner, in the gossipy, backbiting way that are you going to fall in with that? Are you going to call the politicians names? Call them names? It's one thing to have an intelligent conversation. But if you really can't do it without getting upset and uptight, you do God, yourself, and everybody else a favor. Pray about the government and don't talk about it. If you can't do it and still act like a Christian, well, how many can say that's got to be right? Well, they're a little bit weak about this if the angels are taking a picture right now. Do you ever hear anybody call somebody an idiot? Because they don't like the way they're driving.
Oh my goodness.
Well, how many of you have ever read in the scripture where it talks about calling a man a fool? It's about the same thing exactly. And calling him a rocker and being in danger of hellfire. I'm going to tell you why that is. Because you're just letting your anger go. And you're just opening doors. And then if you get angry at that, then you'll get angry at the next thing and angry at the next thing. So don't give in to those things and don't start laughing at their dirty jokes. Well, it wasn't a bad joke, and so I didn't want to make him feel bad. So I'm only telling you this from personal experience in the past. When I stepped out of one arena into another, I thought, well, I'm going to have a different personality in this way I'm going to be living here. And you just can't roll with the world and win the world into the kingdom at the same time. Understand? But don't be around like a prude. Oh, you can't talk that way in front of me. I appreciate it being a little bit of respect, you know. Sometimes men will say, excuse my language. I like that a little. In a way, I kind of like it because they're confessing that they're doing wrong. They're confessing you probably don't want to hear it. But the thing to do is not to speak it. But however, if they do, I usually just ignore that they've said that and go on with my... And inside, I think you're excused. Fine, go on with your life. I'm not here to check out your language. I'm here to check out your soul before God. I want to know if this is the day that the light's going to break through and you're going to come to Jesus. You won't win the lost to Jesus. I like what David Wilkerson said. Well, they said, well, the teenagers just say, well, I go out with my friends, and next thing I know, I'm getting into something, you know. I'm drinking some beer, I'm doing this, that, and the other. And I just went to have a pizza. And he says, well, if you go have a pizza with unbelievers, make sure it's an evangelistic pizza. That'll turn it. See, a lot of us think we can live in both worlds, but you can't do that. Okay, now what were the 4 points? I want you to remember them as you're going out. Okay, don't brag, nag. Hey, that is great, isn't it great? Now I believe you remember that. Now we're going to do something today that's going to help you as you walk this message out. Now, I felt that the Lord didn't tell me to have such a good time preaching this message, but he did tell me that he wants you to have a fresh start living it. And that's going to come through prayer and blessing and faith. And I felt that the Lord showed me this several days ago. I want you to bring people up from different occupations, and I want you to bless them and pray for them and send them out as ambassadors of the King into their jobs, into their situations. Now, because about half the people are not here today, we won't have as many occupational situations represented, but I did feel to do it like according to the occupation you're involved in. Now, I know that we will have retired people here, so I'm going to ask you to come and stand with either the work you did before you retired, or if you've now become a full-time intercessor, then you can stand with that, because I think full-time intercession is a job. There are people that I've known of that pay people a full salary to travel with them and pray. A full salary to travel with them and pray. In fact, I met one of their prayers. He introduced me to one of their prayers one time, and I spent some time with him. It was just a wonderful thing. He said, and I tell... this name you'd all know. Sometimes I say to him, we're hearing too much of you and not as much of God in your messages lately. Of course, he was also an ordained minister. You know, he had a place that he was coming from. But one of the groups of people I want to come forward is people that maybe you're retired, or for some reason you're able to be a full-time. You can give your life full-time, and you meet with intercessors, and you're given over to that. So I'm going to call intercession and occupation. It's going to be one of the occupations. So, and you're going to need to help me with calling the other occupations forward. But my first thought was the medical group. I'm really sorry some of our docs are not here today, but I do see one doc back there. Doctors, nurses, dental people, and hematobiologists. What does he call what you do, Julie? Lab technician, blood people. What is that called? Does anybody remember? Phlebotomist. Almost got it. So, all right, go ahead, Pam. You're great. Leading the pack, just come right on up here. People involved in the medical profession, nobody's going to hurt you or anything. We're just going to bless you, send you out. I want you to stand over here on that side because I'm going to call different groups of people. And so we want to have a place for different ones of you to be standing. This is great. This is really great. All right, let me have those occupational intercessors. I want you to come right over here and stand on this side and don't play the bashful act. Get up. And let's see now. Jan, you're one. What's the matter with you? Get over here. What is it with these people? Judy, you've been on a little sabbatical, but you're one. Yes. Come on now. All of you that always go to those everyday prayer meetings, almost always go, regular ones, you have special prayer meetings and all that kind of things. All right? You have given yourself to that, and we want to bless you in what you're doing. Now, how about education? Teachers or retired teachers, faculty people. Could I have you? We have some? You teach? All right, of course you do. Well, you do both. Oh, yeah, and you... Both of you. No, Becky doesn't anymore. I need you teachers to get together somewhere so we can pray for you. Joan, you want to sit here on this edge? It'd be a good place for you right here. Okay. All right, now... Y'all help me a little bit. Oh, these skilled craftsmen. Mr. Bybee. Come on. I don't want you to stand by yourself. And there's Mr. Keith. He's one of those. And if you retired from that, would you come? Well, yes. Garden dressers. Now, are we leaving anybody out? Are we leaving any peoples out? Sam, you are a retired Win the War for America person. I want you to get up here as a person who has dedicated and given your life, and so are you. Matt, you can stand like right in here. Well, get up here. Oh, haven't I said social worker? Well, come on up then. We've got more social workers than this. Of course, Kim is also a social worker and medical too, right? Okay. Will, you're getting up here as a self-employed craftsman. Yes. What about our visitors there? What do you do? One of you want to come up, or both of you? Do you fit in one of these categories? What'd you say? Military. Oh, come on. Sit up here with these military people. Where are you, Sam?
I'm right here.
Oh, okay. Are both of you military?
Yes, we're both separated.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That's great. Tommy's a retired... He's a retired craftsman. Get up here, please, Tomo, if you don't mind. Tommy, would you please get up here? Is that what Tommy did?
No,
Sue Clark. Laura, I know that you're in sabbatical right now, but what was your job? You did waitressing and some stuff? Okay, why don't you come on up? Stand up here with these folks. Summer, come up as a student. Hard at work as a student. I just wanted you to know that. Are you guys can't come up here because you have a baby back there? Can you come up here with that baby? Yep. And Carol Eilerman. She's a social work, Carol. Oh, maybe you're not able to walk up here.
And Jean called, can you walk up here?
If you can't walk up, we understand. Jean, would you like to come up? Jean call? retired teacher. We are blessing all the work of our hands now and in the future.
Sue Clark.
Sue Clark's a social worker, or what does Sue do?
Administrative.
Okay. There we go. I thought Sue was already up here. Well, Judy. Judy's going to come up here as full-time minister. And an on-staff minister. And so of course, our some more people on the platform, which we honor.
And then Dale needs to come up and transport people.
Come up and stand with us. Stand with the social workers, will you please? Yeah.
Well, Jim Dow's medical, is he not?
Yeah, I don't know it. I don't think, Jim, you probably don't feel like walking up. You probably don't feel like walking up here, Jim. Okay, that's okay. We pray for you right where you are. Now, here's what I want us to do. We're going to just pray for these categories. I want those of you on the platform to help me. We've got Jane and Jimmy Fran up there. Would you guys help me pray for these categories? And I'm going to lead out what one is, and then I'm going to let one of you all pray the prayer for them. So where are our medical people? All right. And there's Dr. Shipstone. See you. This is so good. And y'all come right up here in the front. Yeah, just come on. So we can see who we're praying for each. I don't want you to get swallowed up. All the medical folks right up here at front. And I want the others to extend your hand to them. And we want to bless you today. We want to pray for you. Lord, we lift the people in this house that are be sent out to tomorrow and all the days ahead. And we bless your name, Lord, that you have equipped them, that they are skilled, that they paid the price to be educated. We respect them. We honor them. And we thank you, Lord, for all the people that you will bring to cross their path every day. Somebody pray for our medical people now. We want to pray a special new anointing and a fresh blessing on your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for those who are called to manifest your gift of healing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah. Healers for the glory of God.
Nurses or doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the medical profession with the support services, social services.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we bless these.
Bless them. We bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We ask, Lord, that a fresh anointing come upon them to be your vessel of healing to the world and to their communities and to their workplaces. Thank you, Lord, to bless their assignment with your presence. And thank you for making this such an awesome profession.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. And Dr. Shipstone, is your wife a nurse or an administrator hospital or something like that? A teacher. And what did she teach kind of things? Oh, great. We also send that blessing to Pam Shipstone for the continuation of everything that her hand finds to do, everyone that she finds to teach, and every way that you call her to minister with the skills and the anointing that you give her. Lord, we believe that we'll be different from this morning, that we'll go carrying a fresh, new blessing. And we pause right here today to honor you for what you've given us and to say we can't do anything without you. Now, could we have this group, would all of you just stand over way over here to the side so you just leave this place? Let's have these military folks. Would you step up, all you folks involved in military? Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for these people, for what they have done, for what they're going to do for their country. We say they're special because they answered that call. And we owe them a lot, and we honor them. And we praise your name, Lord, that we can send them out with a fresh blessing and a fresh commission, Lord, to be ambassadors of your kingdom. Someone please pray a prayer for them today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Amen, 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 amen. And strength for everything that you may still have to go through and any kinds of resistance. But we declare in Jesus' name that whatever you need, he already has ready for you. And he will send it at the time you need it for his wonderful glory. And we bless you to bring him glory in everything that you do. I thank you, Jesus. What's that? Peace. And we pray for peace. We ask you for peace. We ask you, oh God, for the sparing of lives. We ask you, Lord, for victory, and let truth prevail. Thank you, Jesus. Powerful, mighty God. Okay, would you move over now and let these over here. Let's have these skilled people, these skilled craftsmen, like that big angel there and the others. Did you know that some people think that there are female angels, but in the Bible I've never read of one. So see, he chose you to, to give a demonstration. And I hear lots of times I hear people tell stories about a visitation of an angel and talk about how big that angel was. Usually they might be, you know, they might be 9 or 10 feet tall. You're not quite that tall, are you? Yeah, we got that. Okay, somebody please pray for our skilled craftsmen and give them a fresh new blessing today. Amen. Yes. Increase, increase, increase. Prosperity for God's glory. And you guys are very fortunate because, you know, you rejoice in the work of your hands, the scripture says. You can even see what you're doing. You can look back and see what you've accomplished. I just got to keep believing when I do my work. And you guys can get those little pegs to stay in those holes and everything, tell them what to do. Well, I can only say so much. So, see, you guys have got a real advantage that you can make some wonderful things. And we need craftsmen, don't we? We bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Okay, will you move over and let us pray for her? Who's our next bunch of people? These ladies over here. Let's have these ladies over here. Who's Tommy standing with? He's standing with... I bet the angel said, I want to keep going to that church. They have more fun. Tommy and Judy, come on over here. And stand with these. And we're thankful for the positions you've held and Judy that you hold in the church. Where would we be without the church? Some people, I read these days that people are not going to church as much because they're choosing to worship God and in their own way. Excuse me. The Bible says Jesus died to birth a church out of his side. When water and blood birth came out together, that was the birthing of the church. The church is beautiful and wonderful. So Judy's one of those who gets to be appointed to be a part of working every day concerning the things of the church directly. And we bless all of you who do any kind of clerical work and serving work. And we declare that it's going to be a new day for you. It's going to be a new day for you. Someone pray for them, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
We bless them.
We bless them to continue to bless those that employ them.
Yeah.
We bless them to raise up.
Make them a blessing in everything.
We bless them, Lord, to enter the realms of education and training and to let their light so shine that others may see their good works and glorify God. We bless them. We bless every student who's preparing themselves that they can be a light, whatever school they go to.
Bless summer. Yes.
We bless them.
Thank you, Jesus. Who's left? Oh, there's intercessors. Could I have a few of you that are standing up here go over and each of you lay your hands on an intercessor. Just lay your hands on them. And you're just going to believe a blessing to come forth to them. We just want to bless you out of this house today. Everybody have somebody lay hands on them. Jane, will you pray for the intercessors, please? Oh, I'm sorry. Good, wake me up. I'm fine. Okay.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you. Yes. That's right, but we have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I pray for every one of these that stand in front of you, that as they pray, they will sense the words of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Kurabasa
tararararabosa. Oh, riba sherio sotaralana mongrianda. Oh, riba yandolololololididiasonda.
Mm-hmm. I pray they will be astonished themselves at what they're able to pray and see come to pass. Lord, we honor you today as the prayer. You're the one, Jesus, that's interceding every day. Every
Thank you, Lord.
For us. Let your prayers come out of our mouth, Lord. Let us be empowered by your precious love.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, we bless them. Congregation, let's say we bless you from this house. Say we thank you for your labors. And we receive the fruit with rejoicing. Amen, hallelujah. Now, somebody pray for these teachers here. I believe that we'll finish. And that social worker. Get over here with these teachers, Beth, would you please? It's okay, Judy.
Teacher. We're going to pray for the teachers.
They need it.
Lord, we honor you today because you made teachers.
Thank you, Lord.
Very, very precious.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
I pray for these teachers that stand.
Hallelujah.
That they will sense a presence, sense of satisfaction.
And touch them and heal them. Meet every need, every need, every need.
Well done.
Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. You know. Well, certainly. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, you have blessed us.
Thank you, Lord.
With wonderful leadership.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Open our ears. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, how we thank you and praise you for your goodness and your mercy, for what you let all of us do, for the way that you open for us. And we just say, as we do these things, above everything else, we want to bring you glory. And from this day, we see our jobs as our kingdom assignment. This is where I build and expand the kingdom within my reach. And I thank you for the great challenge. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a great God, isn't he? It's everything when we get the right attitude and the right mentality about what we're doing, isn't it? I just wanted to say this because I thought it was kind of remarkable what the Lord allowed Beth to do. And for a while, she was making herself available. She's a trained social worker. But tell me if I don't get this right, Beth.